Welcome to The Commentaries, a podcast series from TAN in which you'll learn how to read and understand history's greatest Catholic works from today's greatest Catholic scholars. In every series of The Commentaries, your expert host will be your personal guide to not just read the book, but to live the book, shining the light of its eternal truths into our modern darkness. Visit tancommentaries.com to get your copy of the book and to subscribe for access to all the great reading plans, new episodes, bonus content, and exclusive deals for listeners of The Commentaries.
Today is day 19, and we'll be covering chapter 11, part 1 in the TAN edition of the book, covering the immense desires of the little flower. But before we jump into this timeless memoir and spiritual guide, let us begin with a short prayer composed by the little flower to the Holy Face. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost, Amen. O adorable face of Jesus, O beauty which ravishes my heart, vouchsafe to impress on my soul thy divine likeness, so that it may not be possible for thee to look at thy spouse without beholding thyself. O my beloved, for love of thee, I am content not to see here on earth the sweetness of thy glance, nor to feel the ineffable kiss of thy sacred lips, but I beg of thee to inflame me with thy love, so that it may consume me quickly, and that soon Therese of the Holy Face may behold thy glorious face in heaven. In the name of the Father, and Son, and the Holy Ghost, Amen. The story of a soul, written in obedience, gained universal demand because of its spiritual childhood. Pope Pius XI said it gave great profit to souls, end of quote. And this autobiography kindles charity. Last time, we discussed the story of Sister St. Peter before she became invalid, and the unit of way, how God accelerates drawing souls in the unity to himself. Today we'll look at many things, including how she now is a missionary in heaven, sending roses as signs, and the jealousy for those living in the end of times. It's such a sign of how she is so filled with God. But let us begin as she speaks of consolations and sufferings. Remember that those that are beginning in the spiritual life, they like their consolations, but God wants to wean them off of them, and so they enter into a higher plane where they become proficients and they receive suffering. St. Therese says this, quote, "You probably imagine that my life is one long consolation. If only you knew. My only consolation lies in not having any here below." Very well put, how we should not seek the consolations of God, but the God of all consolations, as St. John the Cross said. She speaks of an ordinary way of becoming a saint. "Because I do not understand what I read," she even says. So listen to the whole paragraph. "Jesus instructs me in secret, never showing himself, never letting me hear his voice. He does not even make use of books, because I do not understand what I read." So there she's showing her littleness, but God speaks to her heart. God is her main spiritual director. Then she reminds me of the statues of Saint Joseph with Christ sleeping in his arms, and usually he's holding a cross. When I was walking around Saint Joseph, Missouri for about 5 years, for a little while I used to carry Saint Joseph's statue in search of souls, and I would bless people with it. The little flower says this, "Jesus has chosen to show me the only way which leads to the divine furnace of love. It is the way of childlike self-surrender, the way of a child who sleeps afraid of nothing in his father's arms." So we even have Jesus, who the Father decided to bring to us in a little child, sleeping in the arms of Joseph. It's so beautiful when the statue makers predict a very serene and peaceful countenance of the face of Jesus while he's sleeping there, hugging his cross, being held in the hands of Saint Joseph. Then she quotes Isaiah twice in chapters 40 and 66, how the shepherd brings the sheep to his bosom, and how they shall be carried at the breast. We hear these words. My darling sister, one can only remain silent. One can only weep for gratitude and love after words like these. If only everyone, weak and imperfect, like me felt as I do, no one would despair of reaching the heights of love. For Jesus does not ask for glorious deeds, only acts of self-surrender and gratitude. This is a maxim of little way. Then we hear of the great commentary of the Samaritan woman. Recall that biblical story. Jesus went outside of the chosen people to find this soul sitting at the well apart from the city. And Jesus sent his apostles and disciples into the city so he could be alone with her. And that interchange was so beautiful because Jesus told her about drinking a water that will quench your thirst forever. And we hear this from Saint Therese commenting on that. Yet he who declares that he need not tell us if he is hungry does not hesitate to beg the Samaritan woman for a drop of water. He was thirsty, but when he said, "Give me to drink," it was this unhappy woman's love that the Creator of the universe was seeking. He thirsted for love, and he is more thirsty than ever now. Indifference and ingratitude are all he finds among the world's disciples, even among his own. He finds so few surrendering themselves without reserve to the tenderness of his infinite love. This reminds me of St. Alphonse of Glory in his commentary on the incarnation and nativity of Jesus. He gave great suffering to show us his love. And St. Alphonse of Liguori says, he seeks lovers, end of quote. I want to be a lover of Jesus, and I hope you do too, soul. Then we hear of humility and magnanimity, which is a common theme of St. Therese of Lisieux. Note the word on St. Francis, how he was humble and decided he was not worthy to even receive the priesthood. To be your spouse, my Jesus, to be a Carmelite, to be through my union with you, a mother of souls, surely this should be enough. Yet I feel the call of more vocation still. I want to be a warrior, a priest, an apostle, a doctor of the church, a martyr. There is no heroic deed I do not wish to perform. I feel as daring as a crusader, ready to die for the church upon the battlefield. If only I were a priest, how lovingly I would bear you in my hands, my Jesus, when my voice had brought you down from heaven. How lovingly I would give you to souls. Yet while wanting to be a priest, I admire St. Francis of Assisi and envy his humility, longing to imitate him and refusing the sublime dignity. St. Francis was only a deacon, yet his holiness was very high. Now we know that she is a missionary in heaven, that is, a little flower, sending roses as signs. But listen to what she said while she was still here, which was a prelude to that. Such contradictions. How can they be reconciled? How long to bring light to souls? Like the prophet and doctors, to go to the ends of the earth, to preach your name, to plant your glorious cross, my beloved, on pagan shores. One mission field alone would never be enough. All the world, even its remotest islands, must be my mission field. Nor would my mission last a few short years, but from the beginning of the world to the end of time. And I'll stop there, but I'll continue in a moment. I want to comment. You notice how she says that her mission is from the beginning of the world to the end. So basically, her mission is outside of time, and now that she's in heaven, she is outside of time, and she is fulfilling these words of sending down roses to people for their signal graces so that they can be directed by a divine providence. But to be a martyr is what I long for most of all. Martyrdom. I dreamed of it when I was young, and the dream has grown up with me in my little cell in Carmel. I am just as foolish about this because I do not desire any one kind of torture. I would be satisfied only with them all. I would be satisfied only with them all. This, my dear souls, is the secret to having great desires, to suffer not for its own sake, but to suffer to give love to God. Then we see her heroic abandonment. Notice these three themes that keep coming up that are required for the spiritual life to grow high. That's abandonment, mortification, and generosity. I want to be scourged and crucified like you, my spouse, flayed alive like Saint Bartholomew, thrown into boiling oil like Saint John, and ground by the teeth of wild beasts like Saint Ignatius of Antioch, so that I might become bread worthy of God. Then she speaks of a jealousy for those living in the end times. It's a sign of how she is so filled with God. My heart thrills at the thought of the undreamed of torments which will be the lot of Christians in the time of Antichrist. I want them all to be my lot. So again, she is so wise because she knows she doesn't have to live in the times of Antichrist to receive the graces of living in them, because she asks God that I want them all to be my lot. And so God definitely took that prayer of hers. And then we see the great desire for love next. Open the book of life, my Jesus. See all the deeds recorded of the saints. All these I want to perform for you. And earlier she wrote in this chapter, Jesus does not need our works, only our love. Only our love. In this confused world, it's so easy to get caught up in the interference of the devil and the flesh and the world. But these spiritual classics, if we, dear reader, ask God to give us the grace to do spiritual reading well, meaning that we can comprehend and pay attention to the words we read in spiritual reading, and that not only we take them into our mind, but they come to our heart, meaning that we live them out in charity. Jesus does not need our works, only our love. And that brings us to the end of day 19 in the story of a soul. Thank you so much for listening and joining me on your journey to grow deeper in your spiritual life. Next time, we'll be discussing chapter 11, part 2, on which the little flower recounts one of the most beautiful exhortations on love, and one that I have ever seen. And then she gives a penetrating insight to the communion of the saints and how to engage them for good. Until then, God bless.
This has been an episode of The Commentaries, a podcast brought to you by TAN. To follow the show, study more of the greatest Catholic classics, and to support The Commentaries and other great free content from TAN, visit tancommentaries.com to subscribe and use coupon code COM25 to get 25% off your next order, including The Story of a Soul and countless more spiritual works to deepen your interior life and guide you to heaven.